Hello, welcome back to the Fit and Feminist podcast. And today it is just me. It's me. And I'm going to be giving you guys some tips on how to reduce overeating, which is, I know, something everybody does. Everybody overeats at some point. It's not like a thing that one day you're like, oh, great, I'm never going to overeat again. We all do it at some point. The problem arises when we overeat regularly and consistently, and it's detrimental to our health physically or mentally, or we simply just are not enjoying the way it's making us feel anymore and we want to do something about it. So enter my, I think I have 19 points. It's up, yeah, 19 tips today, which is quite a few to get through. But we're going to get there. And not all of these will work for you. Maybe one, two, three of these, you might go, oh, absolute banger, I'm definitely going to implement that straight away. Some of you might be at the complete other end of the spectrum and think it's definitely more of mental than a physical or emotional than habit. The reason we overeat is so individual. Like every person listening to this podcast right now who is, I'm assuming, overeats, overeats for a different reason. And I can't go through all of those reasons today, but it would be either habitual or emotional or childhood trauma that's never been resolved. Like it could be so many things, so many reasons, but I'm going to try and cover as many tips as I can today on how to reduce overeating. So I'm going to start with the kind of physical things that you can do to help reduce your overeating. Starting with eating breakfast. Breakfast gets cut quite a lot when people want to lose weight or maintain their weight because they think that's the easiest thing to do. Or they know that they overeat on a night, so they don't eat breakfast to try and balance out those calories. But actually, if you eat breakfast, you're less likely to overeat down the line. So if you eat breakfast, you're less likely to eat at night. If you eat more throughout the week, you're less likely to overeat on a weekend. If you eat more across a whole month, you're less likely to have big, massive months of bingey overeating episodes. And so it gets bigger and bigger on like a grander scale. I'm really open with how I was my relationship with food and almond croissant season. And what I mean by that is when I finally gave myself unconditional permission to eat and was like, do you know what, I'm going to absolutely go for this and eat, you know, what I want when I want. I had a bit of an almond croissant phase for about 3 months, but that was off the back of years of restriction. So it's like you restrict in the morning, you're more likely to overeat on an evening. So point number one, eat breakfast. Number two, eat more regularly, eat regular meals. Again, a lot of people think if I just eat once or twice a day, I will lose weight because I'm not hardly eating anything. But you'll actually see better results by eating more regularly and not getting too hungry. So if you're only eating, say, at 9 o'clock in the morning and then you're not eating again until 5 o'clock at night, you're going to want to overeat because you've gone so long without eating. So you're much better off eating every sort of 2 to 3 hours. Even if you don't necessarily feel super hungry, if you haven't eaten for 3 hours, it's a good time to still have something, even if it's a snack, a piece of fruit or a protein bar or something, rather than waiting, putting off eating and overeating later on. Number three, eat more at your meals. So have bigger portion sizes, load up on nutrient-dense foods. As women, we are taught to have small portions and tiny salads. And if you Google image anything about dieting, it's just some woman laughing into a fork of lettuce. But we can eat more than that. And anytime I give clients a calorie amount over 2000, it's like, no fucking way. They just don't feel comfortable to eat that much. But we can and we need to. And also, if you are trying to stop overeating, what have you got to lose than trying these things out that I know work? So try increasing your portion sizes. So what you're already having for lunch, just put a little bit more in there and see how you get on. Number four, eat more fiber and protein. I guess that could be four and five. That would actually make this nice and rounded to 20 tips. And maybe I'll split them up. Okay, eat more fiber is one. Things like beans, veg, oats, fruit, those kind of things. It will keep you fuller for longer. Number five, we're going with it. Eat more protein. Again, it will keep you fuller and it will help build muscle. And there's a whole, we've done a whole episode on protein. I'm not sure what number it is actually. But super important to fill up on protein as regularly as you can across the day. Number six, eat a variety of foods. So if you eat the exact same thing every single day, you're going to get bored of it. And when something novelty comes in, you're going to want to overeat on it. If you're eating, you know, fish and a rice cake, chicken and rice, fish and a rice cake, and then the weekend comes and you're like, oh no, I'm balls deep in almond croissants again. Like, of course you're balls deep in almond croissants again, because you're not giving yourself the opportunity to try different things, like different textures, different tastes, flavors, all of that. Like, experiment with food, enjoy your food, and eat a variety of lots of different lovely things. Which coincides nicely with point number seven, which is to give yourself unconditional permission to eat. I have done a whole podcast on this. It's episode 43, all about what it is and how to do it. But giving yourself permission to eat any food, that was the absolute game changer for me. That was when I went into that almond croissant season for a little bit and then came out the other side and was like, okay, I'm over the novelty of this now. It's not that exciting. And now I can give myself permission to eat almond croissants anytime. I don't even remember the last time I had one, because I can just walk to the Bottlesons now and go have one. Like, it doesn't matter. But when you restrict something, you put it on a pedestal and it's super novel and it's like exciting, and you are going to want to overeat on it because it's like, oh, this is so exciting and naughty and ee. But anyway, episode 43 is all about unconditional permission to eat. And that is actually probably one of the best things you can do to try and reduce your overeating, is to work on that. Number eight, eat more mindfully, eat slower. Pay attention to the food that you're eating. Like, are you shoveling it down while watching Married at First Sight? And then you blink and you're like, holy shit, where did my food go? Slow down, pay attention to it, chew it. I know I am a fast eater. It's something I really have to pay attention to and work on, is to slow down. But again, not all of these tips are going to be useful for everybody. Not everybody's going to implement every single thing that I'm saying. So for me, I know that this tool works for so many people. But I have still managed to heal my relationship with food. I'm in a great place and I still eat fast. It's not like be all and end all if you don't do every single one of these tips. Just pick what's going to be working for you, what's right for you. But yeah, eat more mindfully, slow down, pay attention to your food. Number nine, stay within, if you can, as much as possible, within a 4 to 7 range on the hunger fullness scale. So zero being you are absolutely starving, like ravenous hungry. Hey, Frank. Frank's going to come and meow. Number 10 is you are feeling sick full, like so uncomfortable, like it's sitting in your throat. We all know that feeling. If you can check in with your hunger scale, where am I sitting? If it's starting to dip below a 4, we know it's time to eat something. Even if you're planning on eating out later and you know it's going to put over your calories and you know you're going out for pizza, still eat. If you are dipping below a 4, have something. Then check in, hey Frank. Then check in again with your hunger. Where, how full am I? If you're starting to go above a 7, you're pushing the 8s and 9s, we know it's time to maybe take a pause, stop, put a napkin on your plate, slow down, and just check in with yourself. If we can stay in that range, it will really help reduce your overeating, because we're not going through this cycle of super hungry, stuff full, super hungry, stuff full. Like, stay nicely between the 4 to 7-ish range most of the time. Number 10, change your environment up. So for a lot of people, their overeating is a habit, and changing your environment can be easier than changing yourself. So the habit might be you get home from work, you sit down and eat a packet of crisps in front of the TV. Well, instead of that, could we go and do some gardening instead when we get home? Or instead of sitting in front of the TV to have your dinner, could you sit at the dinner table to have it away from the TV and change up your environment that way? or if you finish dinner and then you usually go and sit and watch telly, and then that is what leads to then the overeating. Instead of sitting watching TV after dinner, could you go for a walk? Could you do some, I'm looking around my room, plant watering? All my plants are fake because I fucking kill everything. I don't know what you enjoy doing. Paint, do something else, change up the environment a little bit. Whatever's going to work for you. If you know that what you're doing is a habit and that habit needs to change, well, one, read Atomic Habits by James Clear, and two, have a look at changing your environment first. Okay, so those are kind of the actual physical things that you can implement and do to change things. And now I'm going to go through the next, how many we've got left, like 9, of more kind of the psychological, mental things that will really massively help. So the first one, which could be physical and mental actually, is stress management, which I know, eye roll, but it's so important to manage our stress levels, because when we are stressed, we are going to eat more. And when we're stressed, we're going to crave things like, well, I shouldn't say we're going to, but we are more likely to crave beige and chocolate and those kind of comfort foods and the ones that are super easy to overeat on. Like, nobody overeat on broccoli. Like, literally nobody overeats on broccoli. Like, we overeat on chocolate and whatever else, pizza and crisps and squashies. Oh Lord, we overeat on the squashies. So managing your stress is so important, whatever that looks like for you. So exercising, going for a walk, journaling, yoga, hot bath, painting, flicking the bean, she's got it in, baking, gardening, what things have we got, extreme sudokuing, playing frisbee with the cat. Sorry, Frank just walked in, so I just thought about that. Anything, I don't know, whatever you find interesting that takes you out of your head and reduces your stress. Number, oh no, Frank, what are we on, 13? We're going to go with it. We're going to say we're on 13. Remove food labels. I've said this probably on nearly every podcast that I've ever done, but stop calling food good, bad, naughty, cheeky, all of those things. Take it off the pedestal. Like, when you've got that food, and you'll all have a food in your head that comes to mind when that you call naughty or cheeky, or oh, it's off limits, or I've been really bad this weekend because I had some of that food, whatever that food is. Like, removing the labels from that food will reduce the novelty of that food. It makes you feel less excited to eat it, which means you are less likely to overeat on it. It's the almond croissant thing for me. That was my thing. God, I had the almond croissant on the highest pedestal it could be on. It's still kind of up there. They're absolutely banging, to be fair. But like I said, I can have it any time. It's just a tasty food. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just a tasty food. If we can stop calling foods names, then the novelty will wear off. What you might find for a short period of time is you do eat more of that food, but it will wear off. The novelty absolutely will wear off. You cannot be excited about an almond croissant for that long. So allow yourself to eat it and removing the labels from it. Number 14, more positive self-talk and less negative self-talk. I find with clients, it's easier to challenge the negative thinking at the start than adding more positive in. A lot of people struggle to talk positively to themselves. And it can be hard when you've spent, I don't know, 30 years being a dick to yourself in your own head. It's hard to then just go, I'm great, I'm such a queen, go me. Like, there's steps to get there. So less negative self-talk is generally an easier starting point. So every time you find yourself calling yourself a name, like, oh my God, I've done it again, I'm so stupid. Oh my God, I've eaten that, I'm such a greedy pig. Or even without food, if it's at work, I failed at work again because I'm so stupid and I'm dumb and I'm a failure and oh God, whatever awful, horrible things you're saying to yourself, just catch yourself saying them. Notice what environment you're in, notice how you're feeling, where have these thoughts come from? Like, challenge the thoughts, challenge those beliefs about yourself. And the more you start picking up on it, the more you realize how awful you are to yourself. And then what helped me with this was like imagining saying that to a child version of myself or to a kid. I felt awful. And I was like, if I would never say that to somebody else, I wouldn't even want that being said to, you know, my own head as a kid, then why am I saying it to myself now? Why do I feel I deserve these awful comments? I've done nothing wrong. I've eaten some fucking Nutella. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you put it in that perspective, it's like, right, I need to start being nice to myself here. So less of the negative self-talk and more of the positive. So when you are in a place that you can feel like you could say things like, I'm actually a really lovely person. I work hard. I have a great support system around me. Whatever it is, like whatever you've done in your life or who you are or what you feel about yourself that is positive, like start telling yourself it. I know that can feel icky and uncomfortable at first, but the more you practice it, the more you genuinely start to believe it and own it and kind of encompass it. It takes practice, but this one again, I mean, they're all good tips, but again, this is just a massive one that I know really helped me, because nothing good comes from being a twat to yourself. Literally nothing. And I know people feel like, oh, well, if I'm not so hard on myself, then I'll just give up on my goals. No, you fucking won't. You won't give up on your goals. You'll get further ahead by boosting yourself up and giving yourself that positive talk and being like, do you know what? Yeah, maybe I did do a fuck up at work today, but I'm still a fucking great accountant or whatever it is that you are, and I'm really good at adding up numbers, and I'm really good at whatever it is that you do. Anyway, on to our next point. I'm very passionate about that one. Number 15, less all or nothing thinking. So going from the extremes of, right, I can't have any chocolate in the house at all, to massively binging on chocolate, like going from one extreme to the other. Like, can we have some chocolate in the week? And you can apply this again to everything in your life, not just food related. Quite often clients who are very all or nothing with food, so for example, it's either no pizza or they have to eat the entire pizza. There's no, I can't sit with having two slices left on my plate. It's all or nothing. They generally also very all or nothing in other areas of their life as well. Like if they haven't absolutely nailed something to perfection, then they're a failure. There's no middle ground, but it's so important to find that middle ground, that gray area, so that it actually doesn't then lead to more negative self-talk. And we've got this like nice, happy medium place. It kind of all loops back in together, like giving yourself the permission and removing the labels, not putting things on pedestal, having it sometimes rather than, you know, all the time or never. Like it's all this kind of just balanced middle ground thinking that we are aiming for. Number 16, and again, this kind of links in with the positive self-talk, but it's something I talk about all the time and literally should just come out with a podcast all about this. And it's more self-compassion. Showing yourself compassion when you do overeat is so important. When you fail at work, when you fuck up with your relationships, when you do something wrong, when you, anything, anytime you feel that you have done something that's not perfect, give yourself some compassion there. You're only human, you're doing your best. So if you overeat on something and you follow that up with, I'm a waste of space, I'm a failure, I'm stupid, I'm lazy, I'm greedy, I'm whatever else, nothing good will come from that. Absolutely nothing will come from that. If you overeat and then can follow up with, okay, I've overeaten, not the ideal situation that I wanted, and get curious about it, okay, why maybe have I done that? And then go, okay, it doesn't make me a bad person. I'm still a good accountant. I'm still a good friend. I'm still great in bed. I don't know why that one came into my head. Give yourself a compliment, or just show yourself some kindness. Like just the harshness and the name calling and being mean to yourself is getting you nowhere in anywhere in life, not just the food stuff, but at work and in relationships and as a parent. Like that being so hard on yourself thing, it's, we need to leave it in the 90s. Like, come on guys, let's move forward. Let's just own being fucking great, because we are great. Number 17, I don't know why I haven't started with this, but building self-awareness to understand your thoughts and beliefs and your triggers and your habits and your behaviors, the things that lead you to the overeating in the first place. If you don't know why you overeat, then it's going to be quite hard to stop overeating. Yes, put these tools in place to help maybe in the moment or for a set amount of time that they will work, but you absolutely need to uncover what is really going on for you and why you overeat. Is it a habit? Is it a belief that you've got that leads you to eating? Is it stress? Is it a trigger that you have never uncovered before? Like, it could be anything. I cannot list all of the reasons. Only you will be able to figure this out. But journaling is really, really helpful for this. And like, say you have just found yourself overeating. You're like, oh my God, I've done it again. What you can do is get a pen and paper out or use your phone notes and just write down what you were feeling when you did it and how you're feeling after and the events leading up to you overeating. So it could be, and the food that you overate on. So it could be, I came home from work, Bob was a cunt today, I was super stressed out, I was upset, the kids are poorly and being dicks, and husband's not home till later, so I'm running the whole house, I'm super stressed out. Write it all out. Then it's like, okay, what did I overeat on? Chocolate. I know that that's a food for me. Why is it? Oh, it's because I think chocolate is the bee's fucking knees and I call it good and naughty and cheeky. Okay, I need to remove cheeky chocolate. Does anybody call chocolate cheeky? I really don't think so. But anyway, whatever it is for you, notice the food, notice the thoughts, notice the feelings, what was the environment, and go back throughout your day of how it all started. What did your day look like? Did you have breakfast? Oh, okay, actually, I didn't have breakfast. Oh, fuck, I didn't eat lunch today. I skipped that because I had that meeting with Bob, the cunt at work. Like, go back through your day and keep an almost a log. That is what a journal kind of is. It is logging your days and your emotions and feelings and what's going on and build that self-awareness. Sorry if anybody works with somebody called Bob. He's not really a cunt. He might be a cunt. I don't know. Number 18, pause before eating and ask yourself if you are actually hungry or if you're feeling something else. And if you are feeling something else, what is it? And what else could help that? Or can you just sit with it, whatever that feeling is? Can you sit with it for 10, 15, 20 minutes, as uncomfortable as it might be? Can you sit with it? And instead of reaching for food to comfort it, see what comes up instead. And what you'll notice is, you'll be alive at the end of that 10 fucking minutes. You won't die. You might be uncomfortable. It might be horrible. Loads of shit might come up that you're like, oh God, I just want to eat. I don't know what's going to come up for you. But you might not know what's going to come up for you. And it's important that you learn what that is going to be. Quite often it's boredom that comes up, or loneliness, or sadness, or inadequacy. What are you feeling when you are reaching for that food? If you are not hungry, what is it? And then go from there. Again, journaling will really help with that. Number 19. And even though I've just done an entire podcast on food, think about food less. Thinking about food and your body less often. If you catch yourself thinking about it, change the subject in your head. Walk away, do something else. Walk away from the mirror. Find a distraction. Like, when I was in the pits of it and my relationship with food was really bad, all I was thinking about was food. And then one day I read somewhere, think about it less. And I was like, well, fucking obviously. Like, I know it's easier said than done, but I was like, I just needed to hear that. Just think about it less. Talk about food less. Talk about my body less. So if you find yourself in your friendship group constantly talking about what you're eating and your food and your body, your next diet, it's like, stop that. If it's really bothering you and you're overeating regularly and you've got all this food preoccupation going on and body image worries, it's all kind of tied in together, think about it less. When you catch yourself worrying and anxious and you've got these ruminating thoughts, or you're in a group and people talk about it, change the subject. The less it's at the forefront of your mind, the less you can worry about it. And last but not least, get better sleep. We know that poor sleep leads to poorer mood, poorer energy, poorer food choices, poorer body image. When we have shit body image, we want to eat shitter food. When we're tired and lethargic, we want to eat beige and we want to eat chocolate. Like, sleep is a massive fundamental driver to everything to do with our health. So it's so important that we prioritize it and find a routine that works for you. Again, everybody's sleep preferences are going to be different. Some people need 9 hours a night. Some people are great off seven. Like, whatever it is for you, aim for that. It's more about the quality. I know a lot of people do really well with a magnesium supplement to help them sleep, melatonin supplements to help them sleep, sleep meditation podcasts, a very dark room. The advice is a cool dark room. I personally, again, do not like a cool room, but that's the advice given. So trying to keep it cool, trying to keep it dark, and going to bed at the same time and getting up at the same time every day is really helpful for getting that routine and getting your body into the routine. Again, I don't have kids, so it's nice and easy for me to go, yeah, in bed by 9:30, sleep all the way through till 6 or whatever it is. You know, if you've got kids up in the night or whatever it is, that's obviously more of a challenge, but you can do the best that you can do. What can you implement? What can you control to help your sleep better? Can you stop drinking caffeine at 12 o'clock instead of drinking caffeine till the evening? Can we read instead of watching TV? Can we put our phone away? There's loads of things we can do to help wind down on an evening just to help get better quality sleep, which will help reduce your overeating. So that is all of my points. I have no idea how many we ended up with, 19, 20, something like that. If you have any questions over overeating or any of the tips I've given today or just need any help with it, please drop me a message or an email because I love to chat about this stuff. I'd love to help you. And it is hard to do it alone. I didn't do it alone. I had help and I had a lot of it and I really worked on it for a long time. This is not stuff that I implemented one day and was like, bing, great, sorted. Like, this was an ongoing process. So be patient with yourselves, be kind to yourselves, pick one thing and work on that. I wouldn't do all of the tips I've given you all at once, but pick something that you know resonated hard with you, whether that's remove the food labels or talk about food less or eating bigger portion sizes more regularly, whatever it is that's going to sit with you. Pick one thing, do it for a week, see how you get on, pick something else the next week. Come back to this podcast. Share this podcast with people if you like, guys. That'd be super bloody helpful. Right, that's it for me. I'm going to paint my kitchen and I'll see you guys soon. Thanks for listening. Bye.